بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم ما بعد ونبي سعيد الخدري وأبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنهما شهد على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال من قال لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر صدقه ربه فقال لا إله إلا أنا وأنا أكبر وإذا قال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له قال يقول لا إله إلا أنا وحدي لا شريك لي وإذا قال لا إله إلا الله له الملك وله الحمد قال لا إله إلا أنا لي الملك ولي الحمد وإذا قال لا إله إلا الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله قال لا إله إلا أنا ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بي وكان يقول من قالها في مرضه ثم مات لم تطعمه النار رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن complete the hadith which we started yesterday, Abu Sa'id Khudri and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhuma, both narrate that we bear testimony upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this refers to a sick person, what are the wazaif, what are the zikr that this, or the dua that this person should be making. When Allah Ta'ala tests one with sickness, with trial, with tribulation, obviously, a sick person is going through great pain and distress. At that time, we are encouraged to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, particularly with the declaration of faith, with the declaration of the kalima. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person who in sickness says, La ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar, Allah ta'ala attests to this and Allah says, that there is no deity besides me and I am Akbar. And then the person says, La ilaha illallahu wahda la sharika la. There is no deity besides Allah, He is one. He does not have any partners. Allah Ta'ala says, in other words, Allah responds to his zikr. And Allah Ta'ala says that you have spoken the truth in this sense that there is no deity besides me. I am alone and there is no partner with me. And then when he says, La ilaha illallah lahul mulk wa lahul hamd. La ilaha illallah, there is no deity besides Allah. To Allah belongs all kingdom and to Allah belongs all praise. As we mentioned yesterday, lahul hamd constitutes shukr to Allah Ta'ala. That even in this difficulty or hardship, there are innumerable bounties of Allah, innumerable favors of Allah Ta'ala, which every second Allah Ta'ala is bestowing upon us, so to make Allah shukr, walahul hamd, all praise belongs to Allah. Allah Ta'ala responds to this, there is no deity besides me, to me belongs all kingdom, and to me belongs all praise. Up to this point we discussed yesterday, so to reiterate, up to this point, one zikr, La ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar, La ilaha illallahu wahda, la sharika la. لا إله إلا الله له الملك وله الحمد. And then Allah's Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم said when he says لا إله إلا الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. This ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله is a great zakhira. It's a great provision. It's a very very powerful wazifa which we are taught. Literal translation, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ. There is no power to do good, nor to abstain from evil, except from Allah. Whatever goodness we are doing, whatever ibadat and worship of Allah Ta'ala we are doing, whatever abstention from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala we are doing, it is only with Allah's tawfiq. It is only with Allah's guidance. It is only with the power and strength which we are deriving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to attest to that is very, very important. So, La ilaha illallah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah says, La ilaha illa ana. There is no deity besides me. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa bi. And there is no power to do good or abstain from evil except from me. How important is this? Every person's desire is there. And the great basharat and glad tidings Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us. And Mu'az ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, ani nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. وفي رواية حرمه الله على النار. That person whose last words as he departs from this world are لا إله إلا الله. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says such a person will enter Jannah. Another hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said حرمه الله على النار. Allah will make his body haram and forbidden over the fire of Jahannam. So what we call حسن خاتمة, for Allah Ta'ala to bless us with a good mort and death, with one's iman and one's belief intact. This is actually the goal and objective of everyone's life. So we learn this important sickness very often is the stepping stone or the means by which a person departs this world. Somebody gets sick, whether it's cancer, whether it's some sort of heart attack, whatever it may be. Very often Allah Ta'ala makes this the sabab and means for a person to depart this world. At that time, this concern and this consciousness to reap the last words, a kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man qalaha fi maradihi, that person who says this in his sickness. In other words, understand, my respected brothers, is not that a person when he is healthy is going to be negligent of zikr and suddenly when he gets sick is going to start becoming conscious. Our whole life is a preparation for this. So as I mentioned yesterday, tasbih, Allah's zikr, this should be part of our makeup. Allah's zikr should be our takya kalam, our pillow talk. Our tongue should be busy all the time with Allah's zikr. If in health we are going to remember Allah, then more often than not, it is very likely that in sickness, Allah Ta'ala will give us the tawfiq to remember Him. So this, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, La ilaha illallah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd. This is not something only in sickness. This should be part of our lives, wherever we are. Durood Sharif, Istighfar, and La ilaha illallah. Third kalima, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, wa la hawla, wa la quwwata illa billah. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the person who says this in his sickness, ثُمَّ مَات, and then he passes away in this condition, لَمْ تَطْعَمْهُ النَّارِ, Jahannam will never consume such a person. In other words, this person will have died with iman, and this person will be saved from Jahannam. So this important zikr is taught to us, as I mentioned, not only in sickness, but in health also. Tasbih should be with us wherever we are going. بَابُ إِسْتِحْبَابِ سُؤَالِ أَهْلِ الْمَرَضِ عَنْ حَالِهِ. Interesting chapter Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings. We find that sometimes because of distance, it becomes difficult to visit a sick person. Maybe he's very, very far away and we don't have transport, etc. Or sometimes the illness is very, very severe, as a result of which this advice is given that listen, don't disturb the person, don't cause him additional takleef, don't visit the person. Like I said, sometimes because of distance, sometimes because of severity of the illness, sometimes because of visitation regulations, sometimes some hospitals, they have to put this notice that listen, for the next few days, try and avoid visiting the person. Sometimes doctors will tell you there's a fear of spreading of infection. If that person's immune system is very weak and you also got a cold or a flu or something, they feel that perhaps your visit may cause him further distress. So this advice is given, or this caution is sent out, that don't visit the sick person. So in that instance, what should you do? What does Shariat advocate or advise? Imam Nawawi rahimullah, like I said, brings a very interesting chapter. The chapter which deals with the virtue, istihbab, the encouragement to inquire from the family of a sick person about his condition. You couldn't actually go and visit, inquire about him, find out about him. Obviously, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there wasn't this that you could pick up a telephone or make a mobile call. Today, technological advancement. Inshallah, even that phoning to find out about the sick person, we will, inshallah, get the same reward that is mentioned in this particular hadith. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, anna Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu kharaja min indi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi waja'ihi alladhi tuwfiya fihi. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was the fourth Khalifa of Islam, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also the son-in-law of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahle Bayt, Ali Rasul, the Manaqib, the virtues of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu are too innumerable for us to mention. Just one example of the maqam of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Tabuk. At that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu in charge behind him in Medina Munawwara to look after the family affairs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To some extent, because of taunting of certain people, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu felt hurt by this, that why had he been left behind? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to know of this, he said, does it not please you, anta indi bi manzilati Harun min Musa alayhi salam? That does it not please you that your maqam and your status or your similarity in your relationship with me is like that of Harun alayhi salam with Musa alayhi salam? That when Musa alayhi salam went to Koh Tur, he left behind him to look after his affairs amongst the Bani Israel, Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam, his brother. Like this, many, many manaqib and virtues of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu are mentioned in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's no requirement for us to go into the virtues of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu came out from the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having visited him. When? Fi waja'ihi alladhi tuwfiya fihi. During that sickness in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. In other words, the maradul wafat of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the terminal illness of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which according to various riwayat lasted about 11 days prior to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we used to be meticulous about the division of his time amongst the Azwaj-e-Mutahrat, amongst the pure wives of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Towards the latter part of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the wives, Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha, gifted her night to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Otherwise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was meticulous about spending time, dividing his time equally amongst his wives. Right towards the end, each time Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would keep asking, when is Aisha's turn, when is Aisha's turn, when is Aisha's turn? This was because of the special love which Allah Ta'ala had placed in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The other wives, having discerned this and seeing how daily the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worsening, he was becoming more and more ill, more and more weak, they voluntarily got together and decided that during this period of his sickness, he can spend the time. In other words, they all gave up their turns for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to spend his sickness in the hujra or in the home of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Inshallah, we'll continue this one.